The date is the 22nd of June, 1983. This is a continuation of an interview with Mrs. Hibbard regarding her early life married to a naval officer, shall we put it that way. Now, Mrs. Hibbard, you wanted to...
I was going to say, last time you took me a little off balance, because I forgot to say that besides the social life, I did involve myself a little bit in community projects. In fact, I sat on a board of directors, which was the only time I've ever done that, and it was of the social services, which I think that's what they called it, the social services, which was the forerunner of the community chest. Mm-hmm. And Olive Snyder was the only paid social worker here in Victoria, and I drove her frequently on her rounds, heard you know, some amazing things which would also maybe help develop me when I think of it. And I also used to take Mr. Fred Landsberg, who was a great citizen, and I believe was made, you know, Citizen of the Year, etc. Mm-hmm. He was a tremendous collector, and he didn't have it to give himself, but the money to give himself, possibly, but he certainly knew how to collect from people. He started the Sunshine Camp out in Souk, which was for underprivileged children. I used to drive the children out there in a beautiful new car I had, and I remember them being car sick and a few things which I wasn't altogether pleased with. And then there was always collecting, for me, house to house, for everything from these projects, and also for things like the Red Cross and such.
How did you get involved in that?
What? The collecting?
Well, in the collecting and in the...
Well, they call upon people to who would volunteer to collect for the community, well, as I say, the community chest thing. I can't remember exactly. I know the social services, something.
Mm. I was just wondering if it might have been through the church or what.
No, not through the church. No, I don't remember collecting for the church, actually, to tell you the truth, although I was always a church goer. We went to St. John's Church. Mm-hmm. But that was really that I felt that I wanted to.
Right, right. Well, I imagine...
To say...
You become more involved, perhaps, as time goes on.
I even collected for the university, Dr. Roy.
Oh, good. You and I both on that one.
of course, this was after the war.
Do you mean at the beginning of UVic or Victoria
College?
Yes,
the beginning of UVic.
Yes, yeah.
I can remember going house to house on that one.
Yeah.
And somebody saying he wouldn't give me anything and... But he'd like to come and see my garden. I said, well, you can't come to my garden unless you give me something.
Lovely.
Well,
did he actually later? He didn't. Well. All right, well, let's get you back now when we actually have you in the Navy, quote, in a sense. And you mentioned that Jimmy was stationed here. That would be here in Esquimalt.
Yes, I think I ended up when we came back to Victoria after we were married, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I didn't know, for example, that he was involved in SEAL patrol, you say.
This is one of the things the Navy did.
Bless my soul.
Was a SEAL patrol. And Comox training, I can remember going up and staying up in... Comox, and also it must have been that was later, but that was the time that the Depression was really on.
Mm-hmm.
And the ships went south. Did I say this last time about the ships went south and they didn't have enough money to go through the canal? Canada didn't have enough money to send the ships through the canal, and so they had to turn around when they got the canal and come home again. And Jimmy's pay was $150 a month, and they had to accept a 10% withholding cut. That just happened just before we were married.
Mm-hmm.
And During this year, we lived with my mother before going away. Then we went off to Halifax, and he went to Champlain.
Right. Now, let's say in that first year, you would be, shall we say, that'd be your first year as a naval wife. And in that first year, presumably, you would be getting accustomed to the first time to being an officer's wife. Now, in the Army, I know, there were certain things one did, and there were certain things one... Calling, for example. Now, could you tell me a bit about calling?
Well, you were meant to call on all the senior officers' wives. I don't say all, but I mean the senior officers' wives. And you went and left your cards there and were possibly invited in for tea. Some of them had days that they were there, and some didn't. But that was part of service, you're quite right. And it went on during the whole time in the services.
Yeah.
It's an unknown thing now, I think.
How did this... it is, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
How did this strike you as a young girl, you know, trotting around with a calling card on senior officers? Or did you think anything of it?
I don't think I thought of it. I think I accepted an awful lot of these things, you know, without thinking about them a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was done, and so I did it.
Mm-hmm. What about yourself? Would you have a certain time when other officers' wives were...
Oh, no, because Jimmy was a junior officer.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was a lieutenant.
This wasn't done among the lower...
Oh, no, commissioned. No. And we had nothing to do, though, with the lower ranks as officers, but then I think that would have applied to any of the services, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Although I shouldn't entirely say that, because when it came to things like football matches, this is where the Navy were... very good. They had, I can remember their football match as well, Jimmy playing with petty officers and I suppose sailors.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their own field out in Esquimalt, and they used to play that, and I forget what else, but I can remember the football matches very definitely. We all used to go to the football matches and cheer them on.
Yeah. What about getting to know some of the other... young wives.
Well, the thing was here, I had lived here before.
Yeah.
And I knew most of them sort of through...
Did you?
Well, the ones in the ship, there were only five officers in a ship, or four or five officers.
Mm-hmm.
Names are on the top of that silver cigarette box there of the Jimmy ship.
Yeah.
And you obviously knew all of them because you'd have... they'd have little parties on board, and one knew them when you went off. I mean, some of them I'd known long before I was married.
What about entertaining yourself? Did you do much of that?
Well, during that year, I lived with my mother, and I can remember, some of it. Well, my mother had a cook in those days, and so that was a great thing. And I, unfortunately, didn't know anything about cooking. I had to learn all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I suppose I'm not the only person who had to do that.
Yeah.
When I became married, and I was fortunate in a great deal of that part.
Yes, I can see that. What about...
They weren't big parties, though. There weren't parties in the way that...
Not
lavish
not,
parties.
Not large affairs.
No.
What about, shall we say, attendance at the government house or anything of that nature? Did that come into it, or was that...
Well, I suppose there were parties at government house. You know, this is a long time ago you're making me think of. I can't remember exactly when I went to government house and when I didn't.
Yeah. I suppose what I'm thinking of, were there any certain social functions during the year which, like it or not, you would attend? Now, you probably would like it. I'm thinking of such things, well, as the ball at Government House, a Trafalgar Day ball, which I think is quite popular with
Vancouver, but I think that came later.
I see.
I think that came after the war. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember that before the war.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it may have been, because there was a ball going on in Vancouver No, because I wouldn't be in Trafalgar. It was in the spring after we were married. Because we went to a ball in Vancouver just after we were married and before we came back to Victoria, and the ship was there, and I can remember that quite well. But I don't remember what the occasion was.
Yeah.
Or who was there. There may have been some visiting person here, and Governor General used to arrive, and they sometimes had younger people with them. Oh, I don't think life then was all that.
Right. So then you go off to Halifax when Jimmy is appointed to HMCS Champlain.
And this is when I begin the time of realizing what it was to have people, have your husband go away. I didn't seem to resent it or anything like that. But from 1933 to 1949, which was a matter of 16 years, Jimmy had only 3 years shore time. So nowadays, I bring that up occasionally if people, some of the wives, you know, say that their husbands are away for a long time, and I tell them they don't find me sympathetic because I had it and a great deal more than any of them ever think of.
Now, when you went to the East Coast, you know, to Halifax, you had no house. The children hadn't arrived at that time. Where did you stay in Halifax? Would you go to married quarters, or did they
no,
have them?
No, they didn't have I never stayed married quarters until after the war, actually, the first time, and that was only for a short time, and then Aunt Admiral's house was the other time. Only twice have I ever been in service quarters. We stayed at the Lord Nelson Hotel quite frequently, in and out of Halifax, as you will see that I came and went several times. And the Lord Nelson Hotel was a very, they'd give you special rates. This is one thing that they were always very kind to. The Navy, you had special rates in the hotels and service ports, and you were put up at the golf clubs, and Jimmy never paid an entry fee at a golf club until after he left the services.
Oh, I see. As a member of the armed forces, he would be more or less given
privileges.
Privileges or associate membership.
Yes.
That's damned handy.
It certainly was.
Yeah.
And it made all the difference in the world because we couldn't afford to go everywhere and take out membership, but This is one of the things I say. The Navy was always accepted everywhere, and socially and otherwise. And I went to Halifax, and I had friends who had been out here, stationed out here. Now they were in Halifax. I saw them. And that was a time, I think, that my brother-in-law, Jimmy's older brother, was stationed there. He was in the Navy. And we used,
I didn't know that.
And a third brother came back during the war. He had been in the Navy too, but he got out of the Navy, and he came back during the war. But we used to play bridge, I remember, quite a lot. And go out, you know, after dinner. I don't think we used to have dinner. We'd go out after dinner. I can remember quite a lot of that. And
did you have your car, by the way, in Halifax? Did you take that with you or not? Because that might restrict you a fair amount.
Well, maybe. No, I think we sold. I'd had a car and sold that. And Jimmy had a, what was it? A Ford Roadster. The one we'd gone away in our honeymoon in. And he sold that here when we left. And so we bought a car when we were in the East. And that was very nice for me because that was the time that, no, I didn't take it down to Bar Harbor, but we went down to Bar Harbor that summer because the ships were, came in, there was a British ship and two Canadian ships went into Bar Harbor. And that was a fabulous place. It's it was a resort of tremendous wealth.
I've heard of it. I've never been there.
Well, there's no use going now because they had that terrible fire. Do you remember numbers of years ago? And all these cottages, as they called them,
yeah.
Most of them burnt down.
Oh.
It was an extraordinary thing, but they had... withdrew American hospitality. They wanted to know what wives would be accompanied.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was the only wife.
Is that right?
I was the only wife. Well, I was, as I say, I had no house to live in. I had nothing to
keep
me there. So I did this, you see. It,
yeah.
It wasn't all that expensive to do it when you
yeah.
think of it.
Yeah.
And anyway, there were definite privileges for junior officers.
Mm-hmm.
Or senior officers, of course, but junior officers too. And I came in on all this. Festivities in Bar Harbor,
mm-hmm.
and they were having their tennis week at the tennis club, and so many well-known names. There was Mrs. E.T. Stotespray, who really tucked me right under her arm. She couldn't have been nicer to me,
mm-hmm.
and he was senior partner of J.P. Morgan and Company, so she wasn't unknown.
Yeah.
And the
excuse me just for a minute. Would she have anything to do with the Navy, though?
No, nothing whatsoever. She was just one of the grand hostesses.
Ah, I see.
The Atwater Kents were there. Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Munson's of shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many other well-known names. Mr. and Mrs. Stotespray gave a dinner party. I can't remember. Oh, maybe 60 people at least. And they had no extra help in that house except the extra ones they brought off their own private yacht. We sat at tables of 10. I still have the place cards of that and the invitation to that.
Bless my soul.
And
I noticed here that Mrs. Stotespray...
Stotespray.
Stotespray.
S-T-O-T.
Oh, I see. Stotespray. That she loaned you a Rolls Royce
and chauffeur.
And a chauffeur.
Yes, we had that one day, and we drove up to Bangor, where I had a relative, and we went and called on the relative in the Rolls. You know, and he was willing to sort of tuck the rug around one. The chauffeur is
yeah.
willing to tuck the rug around one's knees and
yeah.
all. The rest.
Oh, my.
I might say we did some giggling in the back seat.
I don't think that their relative must have thought the Royal Canadian Navy paid a fabulous wage to their officers or something.
Oh, I think my relatives knew better than that.
Well, now, incidentally, at this large party you mentioned, you know, the one
yeah.
For 60, were there other Canadian naval officers there?
Oh, yes. All the people. We had, Dutch Edwards was an extremely fine tennis player. And he played with the very best of the players that they had there,
mm-hmm.
which was great for the Canadian Navy. And they had the
mm-hmm.
the British officers, and
mm-hmm.
It must have been a, you know, what do you call it, a cruiser,
mm-hmm.
I think it must have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a lot of officers to play with their players, and I don't know if others came in maybe just for the occasion,
mm-hmm.
but it was their big tennis week.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. And how long did you stay there that time, by the way?
Well, it was all that week.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember exact days or anything, but it was a fascinating time.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it.
Now, and,
later, I noticed that in the winter of 1934-1935, you go down to, or at least the ships go down to Bermuda.
Yeah, their routine, you see,
yeah.
they used to go down to the West Coast and meet up in the West Indies, while here you were on the East Coast going down to
mm-hmm.
meet the ones that came from the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Provided they could get through the canal.
That was it. I think it was only 1 year they didn't manage it.
Yeah.
But I went in the Canadian National Lady Boats, as they were known. The old Lady Rodney, Lady Drake, Lady this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. There were about five of them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down to Trinidad, and then another one went over to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But they covered the West End, and they carried freight and passengers at a very reasonable rate. And it was a very pleasant way to travel because we stopped off at so many of the islands.
Lovely.
It was a beautiful thing.
Now, naturally, prior to going, you would know where the ship, the Champlain, would be stopping.
There was a real routine of where they'd go and where they'd be.
Yeah.
And so I'd go and I'd get there probably ahead of time and stay a little longer because by then I would have known somebody and such like. I think I should say this. You may think that I seem to get about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll say that, because in those days I didn't seem to have all that, you know, just a reasonable amount to augment Jimmy's pay of $150 a month, and he paid about $60 a month to live in the ship. You know, you don't live in the ship for nothing, all the drinks and all the rest of it. And such like, so it wasn't as though he was getting it for free. I don't want to go into all that, but...
No, but I was thinking myself that if you were in Halifax, let's say if you're living in a hotel or something of that nature, you can live as cheaply in a hotel in Bermuda as you can in Halifax.
That's it.
And the travel, as you say, would be very cheap.
It wasn't going in a biking class or anything like that. In fact, one time I went down, I'll tell you what I did do. I went, the ships were terribly, even those days, there were a lot of people who used to go to the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
And for the winter. And this was winter time. That's not running, is it?
Oh, yes, it is now. Yeah. Do you want to go ahead?
No, I don't want it to go.
Okay, it's on again. Now, again, I noticed that when you're down there, you would follow a fairly familiar routine. You mentioned, for example, having a fair number of invitations from the various government houses where the ships were.
Yes. Well, every time a ship went in, they were entertained by the governor. This was an understood, recognized thing.
Yeah.
And so they asked me along, too, which is nice. And I went to government house in Bermuda and Barbados and Trinidad.
That must have been fascinating.
It was.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And St. Lucia, when I was on my own with Dick, I'm talking about a slightly later time when I went down, but they heard that I was coming in on the lady boat going north, and there was an aide down at the dock, and there the two of us went up to government house for lunch. These things were very graciously done.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no need for them to do that, but it was sort of an accepted thing, and as I say, the Navy was highly thought of, there's no doubt about it.
You mentioned Rollo Mingy.
Rollo Mingy, yes.
Yeah. Were there any other officers on board Jimmy's ship at that time that you might remember who later attained high rank, such as Mingy?
Oh.
Or...
It's really quite funny.
Yeah. This is 35.
Well, this is the same trip down there. You mentioned Rollo Mingy, but these naval reserve officers, some of them, you know, hadn't maybe learned the social
graces
as one might take up. And, I can remember one of them so well. He was older, but he was terribly nervous when he went to any of these functions. And Jimmy said they had to give him just enough to drink before he went.
Yeah.
So it's not to make it too much, but just to give him courage to go. And then he go, but Brother said, this man wouldn't pick up a knife and fork until he saw which one Rollo was going to use.
Yeah.
And so it was all quite funny. But we had a lot of fun, and it was also unspoiled, and it was delightful. But I can't remember why my plan was altered. But I returned via New York. Mm-hmm. And I neglected to have my passport with me. And on entering New York Harbor, I suddenly realized that I was in the alien line. I can remember that just now. And looked out the porthole, and there was Ellis Island. I was noticeably pregnant at the time, and when the immigration officer put out his hand to take my passport and looked up when I said I didn't have one, he listened to my story, and he looked at me and said, "Well, why should I believe that?" And I said, "I wonder too." I really was quite frightened at that moment. So anyway, yeah. I was soon passed through.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
But it was quite a moment in my life, I assure you. But the next year I was taken up being a housekeeper and mother with Jimmy coming and going in the ship.
This, is the,
this would be in Halifax.
Or a daughter.
Son Dick.
Your son Dick, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dick is, and he was born in Halifax, presumably.
Both sons were born in Halifax, nearly 6 years, nearly 7 years apart.
Yeah. Well, now, at this point, presumably you want to get an apartment or a house or what?
Yes, we had, we had one house in Halifax, which I really must tell you about. The first house we had must be in this time, and then we went a little later to another one. And the first one was a part of the upstairs of an old house. And we went up the main staircase from the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a sitting room and a bedroom and a kitchen and a bathroom. But it was so small, and the bathroom was so small that they couldn't even put anything like a full-size tub in it. They just had one of these little short affairs. And so when Jimmy had a bath in it and wanted to lie down, the window was conveniently at the end of the tub, and he used to put his feet out the window. We had a we had a stove which had, can't remember, two or three burners, three burners, I expect, gas stove.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little narrow affair. And my mother-in-law and father-in-law were coming down to spend Christmas with Peggy and Godfrey and their three daughters. And I was seeing them for almost the first time. We'd passed through Quebec on our way east, but it was almost the first time I was seeing them, and I certainly had never cooked for them. And I knew Peggy and Godfrey would be having a turkey for midday lunch, and I was to have the grown-ups for the evening. So I went down to the beautiful Halifax market.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely market. All these things on display, you know, turkeys hanging up and geese hanging up and so on. So I thought, well, I better have a goose.
Mm-hmm.
So I took home a goose. Fortunately, it was cleaned and a few things for me, so that was all right. And I didn't really know until later that a goose is a very difficult thing to cook. But anyway, I got the goose all ready according to the cookbook.
Yeah.
I got it in the pan and put it in the oven, discovered that the oven wasn't really big enough for the goose.
Oh.
So we put a chair against the oven door and we cooked the goose. So things weren't always easy.
Yeah.
I didn't live in luxurious surroundings.
How did the dinner go?
Oh, the dinner went well. They were all very kind.
Oh, good. Good, good. Now, I see in March 1936, Jimmy is transferred to England.
Yes.
Before we get there, now this is 1936, and at that time, was there any feeling that you might remember about the possibility of war? You know, that with Hitler gaining more and more power, Mussolini going into Ethiopia, Spanish Civil War breaking out.
Well, Jimmy, you see, if you just go on here, I will tell you how Jimmy became involved in the Spanish Civil War.
Okay, fine. But I was just wondering if at that...
No, I can't remember thinking of Hitler quite so much at that time.
Yeah.
Except the Germans.
Yeah.
You see, this comes in... But, no, I kind of don't think of that so well.
Yeah, well, of course, it does become more apparent later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say that Jimmy took courses...
In Sosie, which is Portsmouth,
yeah.
And in Weymouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in what were known as digs, which was either a reasonably nice bed sitting room in an old house.
Mm-hmm.
It had a gas ring beside a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
A gas fireplace. And I was able to heat the baby's bottle there, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But that was all it amounted to there. Then we went down, from what I can remember, to a main dining room and had our meals. And presumably they gave me something for the baby to have upstairs, not in the main dining room. I can't quite remember that part.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that we lived in a large house in a Festing Road in Sousey, and we had the very nice old library of the house and a bedroom on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we ordered our own meals, and this owner did all the cooking that we wanted for ourselves, and what the people who had the drawing room next door, what they wanted for themselves, and what people downstairs, all from out of the basement kitchen, the old-fashioned basement kitchen. And this was brought up to us separately. How she did it, I don't know. I just think it was a miracle. Something went on there, though, that I really couldn't get over. I'd had English friends previously, and we'd known the British Navy who came out here
mm-hmm.
in the summertime and such like. But the next door sitting room to ours, the drawing room of the old house, was rented to Major Marines
mm-hmm.
and his wife, and they had a child about the same age as Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And we would meet in the garden in the morning, the children, and they'd play and talk together, and so on. We were never invited into that sitting room of theirs, though I never set foot in that sitting room during the time we were there. And yet, when we returned to Victoria, a couple of years later or something like that, we had a letter from this man saying that he was coming out in HMCS so-and-so, and he would be visiting Victoria with his wife. Where would we suggest they should stay? And it was written in such a way as though they thought they should stay with us.
Yeah.
And I said, I won't have them in my house.
Yeah.
Of course, I ended up, they did come to the house.
Did they?
I invited them. But this really hurt me very much. This was the English before the war. I don't suppose they're like that in that same way now, but this was a very hard... I'll go on and I'll tell you another occasion later on.
Yeah.
That it happened. I don't know what it was.
I know their pay was much less than the Canadians.
Oh, well, we weren't getting much pay at that time.
No, I know. I know. Well, you know,
this, you're thinking of wartime after war. This had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Heaven only knows. For the
there was nothing to it.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
He broke down a little bit one day when he had to make way for me going up the stairs when he was coming down because I was holding Dick's little potty in my hand, and he did break down and smile at that.
Yeah.
But they were not mystified us.
Yeah. Now, when you would be, or at least when, well, when you were here in Portsmouth and Weymouth and whatnot, on a posting like that, I would assume that the government would pay your way over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if it was over for 2 years, and Jimmy was either going to take courses or what have you.
Yeah.
But instead, he ended up by taking these courses, and then he was sent to join the HMS Bulldog, which was as a first lieutenant in a running flotilla, which was, I don't know how big a running flotilla is, but that's quite a big number of ships. And it was a tremendous job for him to get. It was the first time a Canadian had had such.
Yeah.
So he was very fortunate, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't all that senior by that. And so we went to live in the old house, Lower Raynham, which is just beyond Chatham-Gillingham area. And it was built before our country was discovered, so it didn't have all the comforts of home, but it had been redone, and we had a proper bathroom, and the kitchen had been renovated and such. But there were, in the sitting room, the beams, these great, huge 10-inch beams, were so low that Jimmy had to lower his head. We had a little spiral staircase and what have you. But anyway, it was a darling place with a lovely garden. There was three workmen's cottages thrown into one and modernized, and next door to a pub.
Well, that helps too.
we had a lovely wall, so we grew nectarines and peaches and such like.
This wouldn't be something that you would have taken over from, shall we say, some Canadian naval officer who had been there before you or anything like that.
No, I think we were the only ones who'd ever lived in that house of our. I think we got through an agent.
Yeah. And incidentally, before we leave again, with the exception, shall we say, of this Royal Marine Major, how did you and Jimmy get along with the other English?
Oh, well, we had friends everywhere.
But this would be a new group. There would be no Canadians here.
There were no Canadians there, yes.
But you sort of fitted in well with the naval.
Oh, yes, the naval people themselves very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we weren't outcasts by any means, except the social, Jimmy was away a lot during this time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother came to stay with me, and while she was there, she suffered a stroke and died 4 months later. So she was in this old house there. And the local doctor used to come to see us. And he was a very nice man, and I met his wife. And through them, I met some people to do with Portland Cement. He was head of the Portland Cement there or something rather like that.
Mm-hmm.
But until he discovered us, we were outcast there. Nobody came to see us around about or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Jimmy was away, I used to go and visit them. And I can remember the cement people took me up to London one night to the Café de Paris. They had somebody or other there, and they wanted to make up a party, and I went with them. They couldn't have been nicer. And when it came time for us to go, they said, "Oh, why do you have to go so soon? And, you know, we..." And I said, "Well, you know, it was all your own fault."
Yeah, we were there. Yeah.
And I was going through a hard period, as you...